and welcome to the ISIS Americas podcast for Thursday, 21st of June, 2018. I'm your host, David Hayden, and this week I'm joined by Senior Editor Manager Bill Bowen. Hello, Bill.
Hey, David.
As well as ISIS News Senior Editor Al Greenwood. Hello, Al.
Hi.
And joining us by phone is Joseph Chang, Global Editor for ISIS Chemical Business.
Hey there, David.
This week we're discussing the ongoing U.S.-Chinese tariff proposals, the latest of which include a large portion of petrochemicals and oil products. Joe, I was wondering if you could start us off with a recap of last week's announcements and where we are this week.
Sure, David. Well, last week the U.S. administration announced it would go forward with a 25% tariff on around $50 billion in Chinese imports, and that's going to start on July 6th. And of course, China immediately responded with this list of $50 billion and 25% tariffs on U.S. goods. So that's not a surprise. That was telegraphed. But, now both the U.S. and China lists include a wide range of chemicals and plastics. But importantly, the chemical portions of both the U.S. and China tariffs come in the second phase. So it's important to remember they don't start on July 6th, starting with the U.S. and China initial tariffs, but at an unspecified time frame. That's in the second phase. So there is some breathing room when it comes to a direct impact on the chemical industry. We talked to many CEOs and senior executives at the ACC annual meeting in Colorado Springs recently, and for the most part, they were optimistic that a reasonable solution would ultimately take place. Now, it's important to remember that the U.S. has a $25 billion trade surplus in industrial chemicals, and that amount is only expected to grow in the coming years as the U.S. expands capacity in petrochemicals and polymers. So trade is really an important aspect of the industry.
Speaking of trade groups and companies, Al, you just finished an insight story explaining how some of the chemical companies are downplaying the situation despite risks to markets and investments. Could you give us a recap of that?
Yeah, sure. We're seeing that on many fronts. We're seeing it in the stock market where even though the markets fall when the trade dispute flares up, overall, we're seeing small declines, 0.5%, 1% on the major indices. When you talk to market participants, we conducted a bit of a survey. It's been rather broad. They're saying trade flows will change if the tariffs are imposed, but the volume of trade will remain the same. So instead of the United States selling polyethylene to China, the United States would sell its polyethylene to another country. China would buy its polyethylene from the Middle East instead of the United States. In the end, it all balances out. And we're hearing that, we heard that across several products. And we heard the same from executives. They made similar comments during the most recent earnings conference calls back in March. They did bring up some other points as to why they think this really isn't going to have a large effect. In some cases, a lot of these companies have plants around the world. So if they can't sell the polyethylene they make in the United States, well, they'll just sell the polyethylene they make in the Middle East. And other companies, they have plants in China. So if there's tariffs on U.S. goods, you know, their China plants provide the products. That's and then in some cases, this is the case of Westlake. They don't do any business with China. So you impose tariffs on China. Well, we don't have any customers there. It really doesn't affect us.
So it's a context by context situation.
Yeah, but that's again, that's been that's some of the reasons why we've been seeing this underwhelming response, whether it's from the stock markets, whether it's from market participants, whether it's from the executives. They just have a lot of reasons as to why they don't think this is going to have an effect. Of course, one could argue that you disrupt trade flows, supply chains with the biggest and second largest economies in the world, it's going to have an effect. But again, the comments we're getting from companies, from market participants is not really.
Let's zoom in a little bit and focus on Bill. Could you comment how this has been affecting your market specifically? What sort of reactions are you seeing and how have things been?
Yes, for the PVC and the chloralkali markets, the U.S. exports a third of its PVC production, sells it into export markets. So its exports are important, as in many other chemical markets, as Joe referenced. The threat comes in the second round if that comes to pass. But the initiation of the first round here, putting a date on it, July 6, has suddenly got my phone ringing from producers who are asking more details about what I may know about how this is going to roll out, if I know any information beyond what they do. And the answer is no, typically because they've been implemented in sort of a slapdash fashion. I think it was to clear the psychological ground for negotiations is what we assume. And the producers and the companies have up until now taken the brave-faced approach that we're going to work around this. But this week, I'm hearing real concerns now that the first round has been sort of given a deadline. Now there's a date. The market participants I talk to are worried.
So in a nutshell, the fact that there's a number, a day put on it, has made it more real.
It's given it a sense of urgency in their minds, it seems. In the case of PVC, most of the U.S. product that is sold into China is given added value. It's either made into a product or recompounded into a finer grade of material and re-exported. The question that a lot of people want to know is, will the re-export exemption still hold? Because China already has tariffs or duties on U.S. material. But the re-export exemption allows us to sell into that market. Compounders or manufacturers there make a product and re-export it. And so the transaction, the import tariffs or duties are not applied. So that's a question now. They could take away that re-export exemption just like that. So that would cause a significant bit of disruption. And I think because it is a global market, most of these petrochemicals are global markets, as Al said, and it will be a matter of readjusting the trade flows. But that will be disruptive in and of itself. Take a couple of months, probably add transportation costs in this time when vessel availability is tight, and in many cases lengthen trade routes. So we'll add there will be some costs associated with the adjusted trade flows as well. And those are the questions and the worries that the people I talk to in the U.S. market are discussing right now.
Circling back a bit, amidst all the talk, both from the U.S. government and from China, we've heard the terms trade dispute, trade issues, trade tensions, but most have been wanting to avoid the term trade war. Is it safe to say that the U.S. and China wouldn't be entering a legitimate trade war until the first set of tariffs come into effect on 6 July?
I jump in by just saying that I think China is using the term trade war, that the U.S. has already kicked off a trade war. So you do have a lot of that rhetoric taking place. And it's, certainly there are going to be negotiations, certainly before the U.S. tariffs kick in and the retaliatory tariffs from China. And also, if those do go into effect, then, of course, you'll likely have continuing negotiations before the second round kicks in, which is an unspecified date. But still, there's a lot of risk out there, and companies should be concerned because, again, there's a tremendous amount of U.S. Products impacted. The U.S. is only going to the big industrial buildup of ethylene and derivatives capacity in the U.S. That's mostly for export. Export, of course, it can go somewhere. Trade flows will have to shift, and this could be additional cost. But it's this is a real risk that it can escalate as the U.S. also, I think Trump also asked the U.S. trade representative to look at another $200 billion in goods where the U.S. could put a 10% tariff on Chinese imports.
So anything could happen before the 6th of July rolls around. Any expectations from the market on what might occur? Any expectations from the industry on what might happen?
I guess Joe and I had been talking about this. It seems so far the industry thinks this is going to be sorted out. There's going to be some sort of agreement made. Of course, so far we haven't seen signs of that, but July 6th is still about 2 weeks away, so we'll wait and see to see if they come to terms or not.
Among the people that I talk to in the markets who are buying and selling, marketing, and have customer relationships with people in these in Asia, in China, in the markets that we deal in, every one of them, when we discuss the what they expect, game out, what could happen with the tariffs, the thing that always concludes the conversation is nobody wins a trade war.
Joe, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, I think there is concern over there, and the primary concern is this escalates beyond even these this list of 50 billion. In the scheme of things, 50 billion is still a drop in the bucket in terms of the overall trade between the U.S. and China. But the risk is a continued escalation. So hopefully this is these are negotiating tactics where some kind of grand deal could come about. But the risk is out there. And remember, the U.S. is also opening up trade tensions or potential trade wars on different fronts. NAFTA is being renegotiated, but the U.S. has put tariffs on goods from Canada as well as Mexico. And then there's also plans or talk on tariffs against EU automotive and other imports. So again, it seems like Trump is not afraid to open up many different fronts in this overall trade battle so far.
Bill, Al, and Joe, thanks for the commentary.
Thanks, David.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks to everyone for listening. As always, if you're interested in more information, be sure to visit ISIS.com. And be sure to tune in to the next podcast.